The Great Gildersleeve. It's The Great Gildersleeve, starring Harold Perry.
Unky, now you simply got to come out.
Let go.
Oh, come on, Unky. There's the most glorious sunset. Come out and look at it.
I told you, Marjorie, I'll be out in my own good time.
But you've been saying that all day, and it's getting dark. Come on.
I haven't got my shoes on. Let me go upstairs.
Oh, you don't need any shoes. Come out the way you are.
And catch my death of cold?
It isn't cold out. It's warm. It's wonderful. You love it.
All right. People want to enjoy things. Why can't they just enjoy them? Why do they have to drag you out?
Isn't it warm?
Yeah, kind of warm. Yeah. It's warm as anything. Smells good, too. By George, a regular spring day. Why didn't somebody tell me?
Tell you?
Why, it's wonderful. And look, my dear, just look at that sunset. Look.
I was the one who told you about it.
Where's Leroy? Has Leroy seen it?
Oh, heaven knows where Leroy is. He went off after breakfast.
Where's Bertie? Bertie, come out and see the sunset.
I see it, Mr. Gildersleeve. I can see it out the window. It's mighty pretty, all right.
It reminds me of a poem by Rupert Brooke.
Reminds me of a dress I saw on a lady downtown. Well, I better get back to my oven.
Ah, oh, God, to see the branches stir across the moon at Grantchester.
What's that?
It's a poem.
Who?
By Rupert Brooke. I've been reading his collected works.
Well, quite an undertaking.
Stands the church clock at 10 to 3, and is there honey still for tea?
Is there what?
That's from the same poem.
Oh.
He died so young, too.
Yeah. Who did?
Brooke.
Brooke who?
Rupert Brooke.
Rupert.
Have you never read him?
Not lately.
Oh, you'd love him. If you like sunsets and things like that.
I'll make a note.
Unky, do you ever feel that things are so beautiful you just can't stand it? So beautiful it actually hurts?
I know what you mean.
Do you? That's the way Rupert Brooke felt. I feel that way, too. This day, for instance, so lovely.
Lovely.
Say, is there beauty yet to find? And certainty? And quiet kind?
You know, this gives me an idea.
What?
I think I'll get my shoes on. Yes, sir? Got an idea. Got an idea. Hello. Miss Fenwick? Guess who this is? Well, now wait, don't hang up. You don't have to guess if you don't want to. I'll tell you. It's Throckmorton Gildersleeve. Gildersleeve. G-I-L-D. That's right. I don't know if they told you or not, but guess what day this is. All right, you don't have to guess. Gosh, I just thought if you weren't doing anything this evening, maybe you'd... Oh, you are, huh? I see. That's too bad. Well, yeah, maybe some other day. Goodbye. Some other day. Now what? Eve? Not after she turned me down twice for that gym teacher. I'll die before I'll call her up. Bye, George.
Give me dinner.
Dinner? Who wants dinner? All right, Bertie, I'm coming.
Hey, boy! Joe!
Leroy!
Them. I'll clean my nails, too. What's for dinner,
Bertie? Leroy, come back here.
You can look at him if you want.
Leroy, I think you might at least say good evening to your uncle.
Hi, what do you want?
Hi is not good evening.
You want me to say it?
Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening. Dinner is served.
Yeah, I know.
Wait for your elders.
Sorry.
What are you doing that for?
I'm pulling out your chair for you.
You needn't overdo it. Perfectly capable of pulling out my own chair. Marjorie?
Yes?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Put away the book, young lady. We do not read at the table.
Well, it's Rupert Brooke. I was just...
I don't care if it's Edgar A. Guest. It's not polite to read at the table. Now put it away and join in the conversation.
Go ahead and start some.
Well, don't read at the table.
What's the matter with him all of a sudden? Search me.
I heard that. Now, fold your hands and sit quietly.
Where's the dinner?
Never mind. You'll get what you get when you get it. Not polite to make remarks about the food.
I didn't make any remarks. I just said, where is it?
Don't argue, Leroy. I know what you said.
Gosh, I told you to join in the conversation and then hit you over the head.
I heard that, too. Well, Bertie?
Sorry to keep you waiting, sir.
What's this?
Cold cuts and potato salad.
Rushing the season a little, isn't it?
Well, I had a lot of laundry to do, and there wasn't much time to get a regular dinner. So I said to myself, it's so warm today, maybe if I just make some hot biscuits to take the curse off the cold cut.
By thunder, just because it turns a little warm.
Well, Mr. Gillespie,
I fail to see why everybody has to start acting like a ninny.
Well, I just...
It's taking advantage. That's what it is, Bertie. There's been a general letting down around here, and it's got to stop. Leroy, did you take out the ashes this morning the way I told you?
Yep.
You did? Well...
I put the cans back where they belong, too.
Hmm. Did you clean up that mess in your room? What's the idea of going off all day playing baseball when I distinctly told you...
I did, Unc. I cleaned that up yesterday. You can go upstairs and see for yourself.
Oh. Hmm. Have you done your practicing?
Well, most of it.
Uh-huh. Most of it. Well, young man, you get to that piano right after dinner and you stick at it till you finished it.
Okay.
And, don't ask me again for a catcher's mask.
I didn't.
Well, don't. There'll be no catcher's mask for boys who don't practice their piano. Think I was made of money. I've bought you dozens of catcher's masks. Where are they?
So help me, I'm...
Now, who the devil is that? Leroy, if that's one of your little friends, you tell him to go away.
Okay,
I... Come back here.
Yeah?
Where do you think you're going?
It said to tell him to go away.
Sit still. Don't get up from the table during dinner. I've told you that.
But the doorbell rang.
What do you think we have Bertie for? Bertie!
Yes, sir?
The doorbell.
Yes, sir, I was just...
Do not trouble yourself, Bertie. I will go.
Suit yourself.
Have to do everything, huh?
What in the world's the matter with your uncle?
He's been cooped up in the house all day. It's the bad air. What's he standing there for? Why doesn't he open it?
Took too big a bite. He's trying to swallow it first.
Oh, it's you, Jack. Kind of impatient.
I do hope I haven't come just at your dinner time. Huh. Oh, I...
Yeah.
Don't let me interrupt you people. You go right ahead. I'll just pull up a chair here and wait.
Yes, yes.
I had an early supper myself, so nothing for me, thank you.
Yes, yes. What's on your mind, Judge?
Hurry up and finish your dinner, Gildy. You and I are going to take a little constitutional.
A what?
Well, I thought it'd be nice if we took a little walk.
Walk? Walk where?
Well, nowhere in particular. I thought we might step out into the country a little.
What for?
It's such a lovely evening. Did you see the sunset?
No.
Marjorie, surely you saw it.
I saw it, and I thought it was wonderful, Judge. So did Uncle Mort.
Corniest thing I ever saw. All this fuss, old goat. They ought to have you in the ads for Bock beer.
It's quite evident, Marjorie, that your uncle arose from the wrong side of the bed this morning. Gildy, you won't come for a walk then?
I can't. Leroy has to practice his piano, and I intend to supervise him.
Evening, Dad.
Evening, Bertie.
Can I set you a plate?
Oh, no. I've already eaten, Bertie. Thank you.
Another biscuit, Miss Gildy?
Well, as long as you're here.
Marjorie, may I ask what that is you have on your plate there? Is that cold tongue by any chance?
Uh-huh. Would you like some?
No. I had my supper. I just happen to be particularly partial to cold tongue, that's all.
Get him a plate, Bertie.
No.
He's been sitting here trying to lap it up with his eyes.
Now, really, I'm not hungry, Bertie. I've already had my... Well, if you insist. One piece, then.
A little potato salad to wash it down?
Well, a smidgen, possibly. I'm really not hungry.
How about a biscuit? They're nice and hot.
Oh, they look awfully tempting.
Oh, give him the works, Bertie, and bring him a bib. Leroy, where are you going?
Oh, nowhere. I just thought maybe you and the judge wanted to talk for a while.
I want to hear you practice the piano, young man.
No, gosh, Unc, my supper isn't hardly digested.
The digestive process will proceed without your attention, my boy. Get to the piano.
Okay, you asked for it.
Go ahead.
Very nice. Pretty melody, nicely played.
Wait a minute. I've heard that darn piece 1,000 times, Leroy.
So have I.
Weren't you playing that piece 2 years ago, my boy?
Yep. That was in a different key.
Ye gods!
I used to play it in the key of C. This is in D. I got 2 sharps to remember.
George, I can't understand it. Your teacher must... Have you got something else you're working on?
Well, nothing but my new piece.
Your new piece? What's that?
Some symphony.
Well, get it out. Let's hear it.
I've only been working on it about a week.
Come on, let's hear it. And I'll watch you. Help you keep your mind on it. Where's the music?
Had it right here yesterday. Maybe Bertie put it somewhere.
Bertie wouldn't be putting your music anywhere but here. Now find it.
Hey, here it is on the bench.
Huh? Hey. Symphonic themes for little folk. Which one are you working on?
Here it is, number 3.
Symphony number 5 by Tchaikovsky.
Isn't that marvelous, Gildy? Little Leroy playing Tchaikovsky.
Well, it looks easy enough. Play it.
It's tough.
Play it.
Well, remember, it's not supposed to be perfect yet.
We don't expect perfection, Leroy. Just do your best.
Oh, brother.
You're not helping, my dear. Go ahead, Leroy.
Okay.
Tchaikovsky 5th? That doesn't sound familiar.
Give him a chance, Gildy. The familiar part probably comes later.
Huh? How does that go again? By George.
He's probably leaving out a sharp or flat. Who asked you?
No, no. Let's see here. I believe your sister is right, Leroy. Isn't that the second note there, a C?
I guess so.
Well, it's supposed to be a C sharp. Look at it.
Well, what do you know? Just like that other piece.
Yeah.
Key of D is tough, Unc.
Play it again, Leroy, with the sharp. Well, of course, that's the 5th symphony.
One of my favorites.
Go ahead, Leroy. No, start over, and this time keep going.
Okay.
That's C sharp, Leroy.
There!
There, you went right past it.
Oh, yeah.
Start over.
Okay. Guys, I told you it wasn't perfect.
Perfect. 5 simple notes and you can't even come close. Here. Now start at the beginning. C sharp, Leroy. C sharp.
Don't hit me up.
I'm not going to touch you, but by George, you... Try it again. You don't have to play it fast. Play it right.
I'm trying to.
Lost the rhythm now, Leroy. Da, 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 da.
Easy enough for you. You know the tune.
Well, whether I know it or not, all you have to do is count. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2. Doesn't Miss Roots teach you how to count?
Sure.
We'll count.
I don't know how.
Yeah. We'll try.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. And 1, 2...
Can't you play and count at the same time?
She makes you count 2 measures before you start.
Well, that sounds idiotic, but go ahead, do it her way.
1, 2, 3, 4...
C-sharp, Leroy! Ye gods, C-sharp, C-sharp! Ye gods, the black one!
Oh, God! You got me all mixed up! How can I play when you stand there hollering at me?
By George, 3 years I've been spending good money on your music lessons. 3 years. $2 a week every week. That's over $100 a year. $300 down the drain.
I'm sorry, Young.
Stop sniffling. Well, this is the end, that's all. I'll tell Miss Roots when she comes tomorrow. No more.
Now, Gildy, I think you're being a little hasty.
You just heard him. It's obvious the boy has no musical talent whatsoever. I can't understand it with his background. We're a musical family, Judge. But with 3 years of teaching, if he can't do any better than that... Well, I don't like to say this, Leroy, but you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear.
You mean, no more music lessons?
Precisely. But don't let me catch you feeling good about it.
Time out now for a profile look at one of the great sports figures of the American scene. In the seat of honor is Gene Tunney, a two-fisted terror in the ring and equally respected outside of it. Gene Tunney's life reads like a story from Horatio Alger. Born to Irish Catholic parents who had little money but were rich in family devotion, Gene once made $1 million in 40 minutes by the clock. It's part of the American tradition that gives everyone the same start and even break and says, go as far up the ladder as your talent and ambition will carry you. Gene Tunney has written many magazine articles. In one of them, he listed the four most important elements of his life: religion, patriotism, human friendship, and the rules of health. Gene lives by these same things in which he believes. In his swift rise to fame and fortune, he never set aside the simple and basic ideals he outlined. Perhaps that is why Gene Tunney remains a champion in the eyes of Americans everywhere, because his life is an example of democracy, of what it means to be an American.
Now let's get back to the great Gildersleeve. Leaving his office a little early, he hurries homeward, but stops on his way to rush into Peavy's pharmacy.
Gildersleeve. What can I do for you this fine day?
Peavy, quick, let me have a nickel, will you? Gotta make a phone call.
Nickel? I got a special on nickels today, 5 for a quarter.
I've got no time for your little jokes. I've gotta make this call in a hurry, Peavy.
Here you are, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yeah, thanks. Darn booth.
May I make a suggestion, Mr. Gildersleeve? If you slip off your top coat, you could get in quite easily.
There's no time for that. You better still be there. If I don't cancel her today, I'll have to pay her. Darn little chair. Hello, Marjorie? Listen, tell Miss Roots not to leave till I get there. I went... Not there, eh? Why isn't she? It's only 5 o'clock. The substitute... By George, that's the last straw. Well, tell the substitute to wait. I'll fire her. Yeah. I'll be there in 10 minutes. You think they could add an extra inch on these booths? Darn telephone company. I suppose it would cost them an extra 5 cents a booth, so they won't do it. Here, Peavy, here's a dime. Give me another nickel and we're square.
Yes, eh? Going to make another call?
No, no.
Oh, then the first call was successful, I take it.
Yes.
A call you didn't care to make from the office, evidently.
It was nothing of the kind. This was strictly business.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Gildersleeve, the amount of business is transacted from that phone booth every year, particularly in the spring.
This has nothing to do with spring. I was calling about Leroy's music teacher, if you must know, and I see you must.
Oh.
Come on, give me my nickel.
Your nickel? Oh, yes. Of course, sir. Must have put it in my pocket.
Yeah.
Here you are. Can I serve you in any other way, Mr. Gildersleeve?
No, thanks.
I've got a special on honey.
Then I suggest you take some. Well, still at it, eh? I suppose she thinks she's going to make an impression by giving full measure this time. Wonder if she suspects I'm going to tie the can to her. Well, I'm accepting no substitutes. Nobody plays Gildersleeve for a sucker. Guess I'd better get rid of Leroy before I take it up with her. Oops. Leroy? Leroy. Better run upstairs for a few moments.
What for?
Shh. Well, I can have a talk with Miss, what's her name anyway?
Piper. Miss Piper.
Well, you run upstairs. I'll handle old lady Piper.
But, Unc.
Run along, Leroy.
Okay.
Put my things away first. Think what I'm going to say to her. I hate firing people. least she can play the thing. I was never sure about Miss Roots. Well, here goes. Huh?
How do you do? You're Mr. Gildersleeve?
You're the piano teacher?
But yes, but I have to explain about that. You see...
Why, you're young enough to be taking lessons yourself.
Oh, I'm not so young. I've been teaching for 2 years, but not in Summerfield.
Not in Summerfield?
No. You see, I've just come here.
Just come here?
And Miss Roots was kind enough. Well, she felt she needed help, and she hasn't been very well anyway.
Hasn't been well, no.
So she's taking the more advanced pupils and turning over some of the less promising ones to me.
Less promising?
Oh, dear. I didn't mean to say less promising. I meant, well, less experienced.
Oh, that's all right. Leroy is less promising. He's less promising than almost anybody I know.
Oh, I wouldn't...
But he's my nephew, and I'm stuck with him. Well, let's sit down and talk this over. Leroy, my boy, step into my study, will you please?
Is she gone?
Yes, she's gone. Step into my study.
Me?
Yep.
In your study?
Yep.
Gosh, I haven't done anything honest, Don.
You have nothing to be nervous about, my boy. Sit down. You could sit in my chair if you like.
Okay.
Try not to make it squeak. Just sit still, huh?
Okay.
I've been thinking about that catcher's mask, Leroy. I've decided you should have it.
Yeah? Gee, swell.
I might even throw in a first baseman's mitt, too.
Oh, gosh, that's super. They can't keep me off the team now.
Yeah, that's fine. I want you to get plenty of exercise.
Can I call Piggy? The team is supposed to play a warm-up game tomorrow afternoon.
Let's not call Piggy just yet. With regard to your music lessons, Leroy.
Yeah?
I talked to Miss Ruth's assistant.
Yeah. Too bad I haven't got any talent, Unc. But if you haven't got it, what can you do? Can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. That's me, a sow's ear.
My boy, I'm afraid I underrated your talent last evening. You know, we're a musical family. You must have talent. I believe the trouble's been in the teaching.
Gosh, I don't think so. Miss Roots is a swell teacher.
I believe Miss Piper will turn out to be much better.
Unc!
Music can be a wonderful thing in a man's life, Leroy. To be able to sit down at the piano and let your fingers stray over the keys, make music come forth, it's a priceless gift. And you have talent, my boy. Miss Piper is convinced of it.
She only gave me one lesson.
She's convinced of it, and so am I. From now on, you'll have 2 lessons a week instead of one.
Two? When am I going to use my first baseman's mitt?
There'll be plenty of time for that, my boy. You'll have 2 lessons a week, and I think it'll work out much better if I try to be here while you have them. Take more of an interest in your music.
Oh, for corn's sake.
Now, Miss Piper says you're a wonderful pupil, my boy. At least she has great hopes for you. At least she has hopes. Suppose you play that piece for me, huh? Once. The one we were having the trouble with last night, huh?
Heck.
Come, Leroy. Just play it once and you go outdoors until supper.
Gosh.
Catcher's mask, Leroy. Come now, play it nicely. Teacher.
And now for another episode in the life of Sergeant Donald Bellwether, my husband.
I sure did, Reba. How's that?
Oh, you fixed him. Good for you, Donald.
Thank you, my dear. Well, that's that. Now, if it rains, we're prepared for it, huh? I feel better now.
Oh, me too. A driver has to see the danger if he expects to avoid it.
That's right. and also keep the back and side windows clear in rain and snowy weather.
That's right. Oh, how about the horn?
The horn?
The horn doesn't work, Sergeant. Aren't you going to fix it?
No, I don't think so. Frankly, Reba, I hate horns. Whenever there's a traffic jam, the first thing some guys do is blow their horn.
Which does absolutely no good.
Of course not. All it does is jar everyone's nerves. No, I don't think I'll fix the horn.
Oh, but now, wait a minute, Don.
Hmm?
Look, supposing we're driving along and suddenly we see a youngster on his bicycle headed right out into the street. Sounding that horn will warn him and possibly avoid a tragic accident.
Yes, that's true, but...
Or supposing we're driving on the highway, and just as we're about to pass a car, that car decides to pull out into our lane and pass the car ahead of him. He obviously doesn't see us, and he won't hear us shout. But one little beep on that horn, and he'll automatically scoot back and avoid a collision.
Reba, you've convinced me. Even though it can be a nuisance, the automobile horn is a necessity.
Then you'll repair it?
Immediately.
Oh, that's my Donald. That's my doll.
Dear Miss Piper. Maybe I should say, my dear Miss Piper. No, she might think that I... Dear Miss Piper. Enclosed fine check in the sum of $16 in payment for Leroy's lessons for the month. Yours truly, yours sincerely? Sincerely yours. Faithfully yours. Not bad. Always yours. Yours always. Yeah, maybe that's going too far. Your friend. No harm in that. Your friend. No, I better play it safe. Yours truly, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. Good night, folks.
The Great Gildersleeve is played by Harold Perry. It is written by John Whedon and Sam Moore. The music is by Jack Meekin. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Louise Erickson, Lillian Randolph, Earl Ross, and Dick LeGrand. This is John Lang saying goodnight and inviting you to listen in again for the further adventures of The Great Gildersleeve.
Great Gildersleeve has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.